Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. I am the host, Michael Bejas. Do keep in mind, I love the King James Bible. We are on page 132, Leviticus 10, chapter 10, the sin of Nadab and Abihu. And anyway, we are going to dive right into this in just a second. Do remember, I'm not a priest, clergy, rabbi, deacon. I'm nobody. So I'm just a guy that loves to read the Bible. Keep that in mind. It's open to different interpretations. How you see things and how I read things might be two different things. But enjoy the time that we have together. And do a quick camera shot here. I am here. I am around. Little scruffy today, but today was a day of rest for me too. So we're gonna dive right in it. And what exactly is this sin? Well, we know these are Aaron's sons, and what is happening is God has selected Aaron to be the high priest, and his sons are priests. They're going to minister to God into the church. They handle everything within the inside of the tabernacle. That means the incense. They make sure that they're taking care of everything. It's polished. It's cleaned. Everything is, it's the most holy ground of God. And what is the difference between the most holy ground and the regular earth? Well, the place, if you remember at the beginning of this, when in Exodus, where Moses was talking with God, and as far as he's concerned, it was God. It was the angel talking through the burning bush. And he said, take your sandals off. The place where you stand is the most holy. And we're seeing a lot of that. The with the feet goes back, cross-references over to the New Testament, multiple times into the Old Testament, the washing of feet. You're walking in God's way. And that has a lot to do this with everything. And if you remember, Christ said, listen, unless I do this, you cannot be a part of me. You have to know what I'm doing. And it signified a few different things. One, the student is never going to be better than the master. But Christ called him friends at that point, because everything he knew, that God wanted to share with the disciples, they knew. So at that point in time, he is showing servitude and how we should be walking, making sure that the servant, the first is last, the last is first. So he's making sure that he is signifying all this stuff. And God has made it clear exactly about his holy ground. And you have to remember, when the angels fell, they had free will. One third of them fell. Christ saw Satan fall like lightning. Where did they commit their sins? Well, they committed their sins in heavenly realms, much different than here on earth. Yes, we're created in God's image. This is not anywhere near a holy ground here on earth, but inside the tabernacle, inside the different areas where God is, that is most holy grounds. So there's a big difference there. And it's kind of wonderful to see. But when you're in his presence, you are on the most holy of holy grounds. And it's the same with the food, as we learned everything, how it's prepared, how it's cooked, and everything else. It is the most holy of holy. So we're going to look at this sin that Nadab and Abihu committed. And what exactly was it? And what was the repercussion of it? So let's keep that in mind, what we just discussed. And we're going to take a good look at this. I am going to get off of the camera because I like to, I'm more comfortable talking and reading off of the camera. But let's take a look at it. Let's dive into it. Easter is now over. This is the day after Easter. Thank God. Thank God of the gift that he has given us. What a wonderful gift. Not only was Christ a ransom for us to be saved for our own shortcomings, but it was also a way of life that for him coming here to show us an example of how to live, how to act, how to behave. Many different things. It's not just here to save us from our sins, but it is to give us the information on how we should walk through life. Again, there's the feet again. I mean, just so many different, how everything lines up, how it's just parallel with each other. So it's just wonderful. The theology behind it is just fantastic. But let's get into this. So I'm still here. And let's see here. Let's do our invite thing. And of course, we're going to do that and close that out. And we're going to go to the comments page here. And let's see if we can. It's not going to let me do that, but that's okay, because this is just a recording. So here we go. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense therein and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. So we're into the statute, we're into the decrees, we're into the laws, we're into the commandments, we're all these things where God has told them, don't do this. If you do, you will die. He's very clear about it. He's very clear. I want it exactly how I want it. It is the most holy of holies. So he didn't mince words. He's made it clear. The angels knew this when they were given free will. This is the most holy of heaven. So you could kind of see how this is going to play out here. And there went out from the fire, from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spoke, saying, I will sanctify in them that come near me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. He knew they messed up big time. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, and the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brother from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them, their coats, out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses had said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar and his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes. Yeast ye die, and yeast wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning of which the Lord hath kindled. And you shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee. And when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, that they may reach the children of Israel and all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. He's making it clear. He is making it known exactly what we just got done talking about. There is a difference, a clear difference, put difference between holy and unholy. And he's very clear on that. And, you know, we're at chapter 10, verse 10. and that me put difference between holy and unholy and between clean and unclean. Don't sacrifice unclean animals with blemish to the Lord. The Lord is holy, glorified, perfect. You're going to give him the best of the best. And we owe him that, not only to glorify God, but to praise him and honor him because he gives us mercy, justice, compassion. He loves us. I mean, so much more. And put yourself in Aaron's shoes, horrified that his children died on the spot, and it was just that quick. God did no different with the angels in the heavenly realms. One third of them fell. You're done. You're out. And that's exactly how it was. And Christ saw him fall like lightning. God made his judgment. And we know in here, God has made it clear. I will have compassion on who I will have compassion. I will have mercy on who I will have mercy. But all these sins that led to the falling of one third of the angels and Aaron's two boys were done on the most holy of ground in God's presence. And they were punished. And Moses spoke unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar and his sons that were left. Take the meat offering that remaineth of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. Again, here it is, most holy. And ye shall eat it in the holy place, because it is thy due and thy son's due of the sacrifices of the Lord made by fire, for so I am commanded. And Moses is giving those commands, letting them know. This is the laws, everything that God has relayed to Moses. The statutes, the laws, the covenants, the commandments, all these things is known to Moses to share with the people of what makes up the 12 tribes, Israel. So now we know this. And the wave breast and the heave shoulder, ye shall eat it in a clean place. Thou and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, for they be thy due and thy sons' due, which are given out of the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offerings made by fire of the fat to wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thine and thy sons' with thee by a statute forever, as the Lord hath commanded. And Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt. And he was angry with Eleazar and with Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left alive, saying, wherefore have ye not eaten the sin offering in the holy place, seeing it is most holy? And God hath given it you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord. Behold, the blood of it was not brought within the holy place. Ye should indeed have eaten it in the holy place, as I commanded. And Aaron said unto Moses, behold, this day they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. And if I had eaten the sin offering today, should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? And when Moses heard that, he was content. But Aaron is a grieving father too. And you cannot make, you're not going to barter. You're not going to change things or anything else. Moses might be content, but that doesn't mean that God was. Okay? He said, you eat it indeed in the holy place. And Moses spoke, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto him, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the breasts which ye shall eat among all the breasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the foot and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts that ye shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth not the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean to you. And the cooney, because he cheweth the cud, but divided not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divided not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof, and he be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh ye shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean for you. And now he's getting into, that's some of the animals of the earth. Now we're getting into the living things in the waters. Chapter 11, verse 9. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and any living thing which is in the waters, shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that ye should be an abomination unto you. Now we're moving to the birds of the air. And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls. Ye shall not be eaten. They are an abomination, the eagle, the ostrich, and the osprey, and the vulture, and the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind, the owl, and the nighthawk, and the cockatoo, and the hawk after his kind, and the little owl, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the gear eagle, and the stork, the heron after their kind, and the lawwing, and the bat, winged insects, all fowls that creep going upon all four shall be an abomination to you. Yet these may eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet to leap withal upon the earth. Grasshoppers. Even these of them ye may eat, the locust after his kind, the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. But all other flying, creeping things which ye have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. The carcasses of unclean animals. Now we're on verse 24, chapter 11. And for these ye shall be unclean. Whosoever touches the carcass of them shall be unclean until evening. And whosoever beareth aught not the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean unto even. The carcasses of every beast which divideth the hoof, which is not cloven-footed, nor cheweth the cud, are unclean unto you. Everyone that toucheth them shall be unclean. And whatsoever goeth upon his paws among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean to you. Whosoever touches their carcass shall be unclean unto the evening. And he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until even. they are unclean to you, the creeping things, and these also shall be unclean to you, that among the creepy things that creep upon the earth, the weasel, the mouse, the tortoise after his kind, the great lizard, the ferret, the chameleon, the lizard, and the snail, and the mole, these are unclean to you among all that creep. Whatsoever doth touch them, when they be dead, shall be unclean until the even. And upon whatsoever any of them, when they are dead, doeth fall, it shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood, or raiment, or skin, or sack. Whatsoever vessel it be wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean unto the even. So it shall be cleansed. And every earthen vessel whereinto any of them falleth, whatsoever is it in, shall be unclean. And ye shall break it. Of all meat which may be eaten, that which such water cometh shall be unclean. And all drink that may be drunk in every such vessel shall be unclean. And everything whereupon any part of their carcass falleth shall be unclean, whether it be oven or ranges for pots, he shall be broken down, for they are unclean and shall be unclean unto you. Nevertheless, a fountain or pit wherein there is plenty of water shall be clean, but that which touches the carcass shall be unclean. And if any part of their carcass fall upon any sowing seed, which is to be sown, it shall be unclean. But if any water be poured upon the seed, and any part of their carcass fall thereon, it shall be unclean unto you. The carcasses of the clean animals. And if any beast which ye may eat die, and he that touches the carcass thereof shall be unclean to the even. And he that eateth of the carcass shall wash it, his clothes, and shall be unclean until the even. And he shall also bear the carcass of it, shall wash his clothes, and be unclean until the even. And you're understanding now how we are supposed to live with and obey the statutes, laws that he has set for us on what we can eat, what we can't eat back in these times, exactly back in these times when the Israelites were eating. And what God says, this is good, this is not good. So he's making the rules for this and telling them that they'll be unclean. Here's a prime example. The hyena was one of the animals considered unclean and forbidden as food to the Hebrews because it ate dead animals. That's why it's unclean. And we see many more times. It's the same thing with dogs. We see many more times of how this, perfect examples of how this is. The purpose of dietary laws, and every creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth, shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, and whatsoever goeth upon all four, and whatever hath more feet among all creepy things that creep upon the earth, them ye shall not eat, for they are an abomination. And ye shall not make yourselves an abomination with any creepy thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye shall be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and every living creature that moveth in the waters and every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten, to show that there is a difference. There is, and what does this, this is a direct line too, of standing in the most holy place and the not holy place. Doing the most holy things and not doing the holy things. The difference between clean and unclean. And this is exactly how it is. There's laws concerning childbirth. This is going to be on right here on chapter 12, page 135, Leviticus. And we're moving right along here, but you're starting to get a picture of exactly how we came about, how the Pharisees, Sadducees, Sanhedrin came about all the different scripture and the laws of the Bible. The problem was they put burdens for all the other people that they didn't follow themselves. They didn't respect themselves and thought that they were above and beyond question. They were wrong. So and that's why they missed the boat. But let's move on. Laws concerning childbirth. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Notice he's saying children there. We are his children. Sons, his daughters. It's, you know, it's incumbent upon us to understand we're children. Just as you have children and you discipline them and show them right from wrong. Moses is kind of the mediator here on this. He's the one speaking, getting the instructions from either the messengers of God, which is still the same as God, or God himself coming down and directly talking with him. But it doesn't matter. It's still the same. So now we move. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation for her infirmity, shall she be unclean. And on the eighth day, the flesh of this foreskin shall be circumcised. He's circumcising the male children. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days, and shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into any sanctuary until the days of her purifying are fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb for the first of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath born a male or a female. So this is the reconciliation. And you can see this. This is the reconciliation. And like we said before, the wonderful thing about the Bible is there is conflict and then there's reconciliation. And that's pretty much all the way through it. And what is that conflict? The conflict is us going against the word of God, making our mistakes, doing the things that we do, not only to God, but to each other. And then there is a reconciliation, a way to atone from that. And the way to do that is by God correcting us. Don't be angry at God, for he corrects us, for we all fall short. Who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her? So, and if she be not able to bring a lamb, she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for the sin offering. and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Now here's the examination of the people, chapter 13. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, a bright spot, or be in the skin of his flesh like a plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of the sons of the priests. And the priest shall look at on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look upon him in the seventh day, and behold, if the plague is in his sight, be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more, keeping it from spreading. They're shutting him up, isolating him. And the priest shall look upon him again on the seventh day. And behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after he has been seen of the priest for his cleansing, shall he be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, if it is rising, be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, sensitive, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if the leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague from his head even unto his foot, whatsoever the priest looketh, the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all of his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague, as it turned white, he is clean. But when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean, and the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is a leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again and changed unto white, he shall come unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the plague be turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. The flesh also, which even in the skin thereof, was a boil and is healed. And in the place of the boil, there be a white rising or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, and it be showed to the priest. And if when the priest seeth, behold, be in the sight of the lower of the skin, and in the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of a boil. But if the priest look at it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and if it be not lower than the skin, but somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And if it spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. It's an infection. And again, isolation. And we know how infections work. We have antibiotics today, but we know exactly how they work. So staph infection, streptococcus infections, different things, leprosies, everything else. Very important that, you know, these things are taken care of. Terrible, terrible things. So where were we here? So we already know about that. But if the bright spot stay in its place and not spread. It is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. It doesn't spread. If there are any flesh in the skin whereof there is not, there is a hot burning, and a quick flesh that burneth, have a white, bright spot, somewhat reddish or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white and in sight deeper than the skin, it is the leprosy broken out of the burning whereof the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy. And they use leprosy. They're not, understand, the leprosy is just saying unclean. It's infections and everything else. So unclean. And big difference with the boils and everything else that's going on. But he's making it clear. Unclean. So, but if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And the priest shall look upon him the seventh day. And if it spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy. And if the bright spot stay in its place and spread not in the skin, but in somewhat dark, it is a rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is an inflammation of the burning. If a man or woman have a plague upon the head or the beard, then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it is in sight deeper than the skin, and there be any yellow in the thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry scald, even a leprosy upon the head or beard. And if the priest look upon the plague of the skull, and behold, it is not in sight deeper than the skin, that there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague of the skull 7 days. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look upon the plague, and behold, if the skull spread not, and there be no yellow hair in the skull, be not in sight deeper than the skin, he shall be shaven, but the skull he shall not shave, and the priest shall shut him up that hath the skull 7 days more. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look upon the skull, and behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor be sight deeper than skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. So you can see there, the priest is going to declare, if you have a rash and it's spreading, let's say like poison ivy or something else, it's going to shut you up 7 days. If it continues on and it gets worse, or another sub-infection comes, you're unclean. You have a staph infection or something else. But God is making it clear, giving them determinations of all this. So now the cleansing of the people. And we're going to get on down to this, but I want to read, we're still right here. Before we get to chapter 14, and the garment, either warp or wool or whatsoever thing of skin it be, which thou shall wash, if the plague be departed from them, and then it shall be washed the second time, and it shall be clean. This is the law of the plague of leprosy, in a garment of woolen or linen, or either in warp or woof, or anything of skins, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. And we're seeing now, and that's why we have, this is why God is making this law, and he's going to have it for cleansing the people too. So it's going to be very, very interesting how this works. We have got about 20 minutes left, so we're going to go through chapter 14, the cleansing of the people. And this is page 138, King James Version. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing, and he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in a leper, then the priest shall command to take him, to take for him that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over the running water. And as for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loosed into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that, he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad about his tent 7 days. So it's an isolation. Hang out in your own place 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave off all his hair off his head, and his beard and his eyebrows, even the hair he shall shave off. And he shall wash his clothes. Also, he shall wash in his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day shall he take two, the lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb for the first year without blemish, and three tenth deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and one log of oil. And the priest shall maketh him a clean, shall present the man that is to be made clean in those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if the priest shall take one of the lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord, and they shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place, as for the sin offering of the priests, so it is the trespass offering, it is the priests. So it is the trespass offering, it is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and put it upon the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and he shall sprinkle the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And we saw this when the priests earlier in the tabernacle, when Aaron went through and put blood on the right ear, the right thumb, the right toe. This is exactly how God wants it. There is a reason for this. There is, to the right of God, first of all, Christ sits at the right hand of the throne. But you're going to see it. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You will see it. All right. We are now here. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waved, to make an atonement for him, and one tenth deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil, and two turtle doves or two young pigeons, such as he is able to get. And the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. And he shall bring them on the eighth day of his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, in front of. And the priest shall take the lamb of trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour out the oil into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand seven times before the Lord. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves or the young pigeons, such as he can get, such he's able to provide. Even such, if he is able to get, the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, with the meat offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. And I think right at this point, where we've got about 10 minutes left, why did these things happen? Well, we're diseased. We have problems and everything else, but we're coming before God. God is the one that can get rid of these things, no problem. Christ healed the whole time he was here. He served. He showed this. These people, at those times and everything else, they had these things going on, be it from sin or everything else. God inflicted them. They inflicted themselves, and they needed to be cleansed. And the only way to do that was to follow the statutes, commands, the ceremonies and everything of going to the priests and them preparing them, either, you know, getting them ready. And then if they could be cleansed, it would be in front of God. There's a sin offering. There's, you know, a burnt offering that is before the Lord. And you have to understand, it's most holy. All these things are done in the presence of the Lord. The cleansing of houses. This is a wonderful part right here. Let's read this. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when ye come into the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me there is as it were a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command, they empty the house before the priest, go into it to see the plague, and all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go in and see the house, and he shall look on the plague. And behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow stakes, greenish or reddish, which is in sight or lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again. And if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones and which the plague is, and they shall cast them into the unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scrapped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and plaster in the house. And if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after he has scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house. It is unclean. It's spreading. That's what this fretting one, it's spreading. If the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house. It be unclean. And if he shall break down the house, and the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house, all the while that it is shut up, shall be unclean unto the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house, after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And he shall kill one of the birds in the earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and with the running water, and with the living bird, and with the cedar, and with the hyssop, and with the scarlet. But he shall let go of the living bird out of the city into the open field, and make an atonement for the house. It shall be clean. The purpose of the laws of leprosy. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scall. It's the procedures. And for the leprosy of a garment, and for the house, and for the rising, and for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. And this is important. This is God again saying, and this is exactly, we have to be able to recognize, and God has made it clear to us, what is clean, what is unclean, and he has prepared us and given these sets of instructions on how to treat it, what to do when it happens. We have to be prepared. And everything that comes, it will be placed before God. It is most holy. So there's clean and unclean. We have to give him the best of the best. And we have to do the best of the best. And I think that was Aaron's son's shortfall. They did not do as God had commanded. So with that thought, Moses made it clear about clean and unclean with not only animals, creepy thing, everything in the ocean, yourselves, your houses, everything. When we are before God, we are to be clean. So we see how this is the difference between the clean and the unclean. So you can see how this goes. It's very cool. Chapter 15 next week. I'm putting our 421, 25 on here. The discharges of the man. Then we're going to go over the discharges of the woman, the purpose of the law of discharges. But we are going to start off next week, page 140, Leviticus 15. And that's where we're at. So all I can do is I be thankful for everything that has happened this wonderful week. What a blessing. You know, Easter is just like one of my favorite times. It is by far my favorite, because that is just our being saved by grace, by God's mercy, God's compassion. So take that time. Don't forget, just because it's yesterday, understand something. Be that way every day, and be grateful every day. And You know, be blessed every day. I hope you all have a very peaceful week, a loving week, a good week. And we will catch you next week right here on Life Walk with Christ God. And always fun and wonderful to spend some time with you all. I love that. So again, King James Version, we are on Leviticus 15, page 140. That's where we're going to pick up next week. And I'd love for you guys to, if you ever want to talk, you want to be on or anything else, please ask. I would love to hear from you. So anyway, with that, take care, guys, and I will talk to you later. God bless.